The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, talked to Bob Woodward for the journalist's new book, and he did not mince words. He said, quote, I had suspicions when I talked to you about his mental decline and so forth, but now I realize he's a total fascist. He's now the most dangerous person to this country, a fascist to the core.
Hard to disagree with General Milley there, isn't it?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the broadcast as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, and Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX. Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. It is Columbus Day for those who celebrate violent colonialism. It's also Indigenous Peoples Day for those who oppose it. But for us here at the broadcast today, it is now just 3 weeks away from Election Day, in the most critical election of our lifetimes. And I think I can say with some empirical academic evidence in support, the most critical election in the history of our nation. Is that a fair thing to say, Desi Doyen?
Absolutely, that is a fair thing to say. I think I know people say, oh, you always say that. Well, you know, actually this time it really is. It keeps escalating, and I think this time we are at a very serious inflection point.
I think we are, and I think it is. It shouldn't be, but it actually is. And if you have any doubt about that, it's likely, I would argue, because you're either unfamiliar with history or you are following very bad media outlets, or you are purposely trying to not pay attention to what's going on in our country in recent weeks, beginning with the very thing that one of the two major presidential candidates, Donald J. Trump, is now saying openly and every day on the campaign trail as his violent, anti-immigrant, pro-authoritarian, pro-fascism rhetoric has ramped up to an absolutely alarming level. Even as his poll numbers, if you believe the pre-election polling averages, well, they have actually ramped up as well. The Democratic candidate, Kamala Harris, is still in front, but by most measures, nationally, only by a couple of points, and by a point or two in the less, a point or two or less in the critical swing states that she would need to win the presidency, as Trump leads by a point or less in the other battleground states. You may or may not have confidence in those numbers, or they may or may not matter to you, because ultimately all that matters is how and if people vote and how and if their votes are counted as cast. At least in what I am calling phase one of the election, which is everything that happens today now through the close of polls on election night, November 5. We will increasingly be discussing phase two of the election, what happens after the close of polls, particularly if Kamala Harris appears to be the winner and Team Trump's plan to steal the election in a way that they tried but failed to in 2020, when, you know, that effort will kick off for real. But for now, in general, for our conversation today, it's all about phase one. Mostly. With voting now underway in a majority of the states by absentee or vote by mail ballot, or soon, if not yet for many, via early voting at the polls. We'll be opening up the phone lines today as well, and I'm going to try to keep it as broad as I can, taking your calls on this election as we get closer to election day, and I want to do what I can to keep the public airwaves open to you. Love to hear about your hopes, your fears. It's one of just a few opportunities we have left between now and Election Day to hear from listeners at 818-985-5735 if you are in our live Southern California listening area, or if you're listening anywhere across the world on our live web stream via kpfk.org. And yes, the Trump campaign is now challenging overseas voters as well, I should note, Americans who are legally allowed to vote in our elections because they may be stationed overseas as part of the military, or family members of those in the military, or just those regular American civilians who are currently living overseas and, yes, are allowed to vote in our elections. But Republicans are challenging, or at least preparing to challenge, those votes as well. Right now, as they prepare to challenge every vote that they feel they need to, beginning in phase two of the election, if and only if, of course, they find that Donald Trump has lost or is losing during the tabulation of phase one of the election. I've got questions about voting, concerns about how or if your vote will be tabulated, wondering what may be the best way to maximize the odds of your vote being cast, counted as cast. I will field those questions as well, if I can. We are in the middle of another fund drive here at my flagship station in L.A., KPFK. Donald Trump's Project 2025 singles out Pacifica Radio by name to take away its broadcast license. Yes. If you are in California and if you are registered to vote, you should have by now received your ballot in the mail, as every California voter should now have be receiving a vote-by-mail ballot, though you are also welcome to vote instead at a voting center in person, either on Election Day or prior when early voting begins, I think in most areas on October 26. But drop boxes and mailboxes are already available for you to drop your ballot off in. My recommendation for voters, at least in Los Angeles here, since we're forced to vote at the polls, if we choose to vote at the polls in the nation's most populous voting jurisdiction, we're forced to vote at the polls on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems, which I strongly recommend against. So I do recommend you fill out your vote-by-mail ballot at home, bring it into a drop box, or drop it off in person at a voting center once early voting begins. In my opinion, the closer to Election Day, the better, in order to maximize the chances of your vote being counted as cast. There's an extraordinary 20 ballot propositions on my ballot here in Los Angeles. To be honest, I have not yet been able to plow through all of them, though BradBlog.com's legal analyst Ernie Canning writes today at the blog about one of the, two of the most contentious propositions in California this year. At least one of them is having the most corporate money spent on it, which, like I say, it's actually two propositions, Prop 33 and 34. In short, Prop 33 would restore the ability for counties and cities across the state to institute rent controls on apartments and houses that was taken away from those counties and cities by Republican Governor Pete Wilson way back in 1995. A coalition of institutional corporate landlords calling themselves the California Apartments Association is now spending well over $56 million to try and defeat that initiative with a bunch of lies about it. And they're spending another $30 million or so in support of Prop 34, which is being described as a revenge initiative against the AIDS Healthcare Foundation because they are the leading proponent of Prop 33. Anyway, you can get more details on what those two propositions do and do not do, the deceptive advertising for which by those corporate landlords has been blanketing the state airwaves out here of late. So you can check that out at bradblog.com right now. But of course, the greatest threat to our elections, to our Constitution, to our small d democratic, if imperfect, democratic way of life right now is obviously the convicted felon who is running as the Republican candidate for president right now with a vow that is growing increasingly louder, more menacing, and more violent in recent days to bring retribution against his perceived political enemies, such as, well, capital D Democratic voters and their Democratic donors and elected politicians, pretty much any and all journalists and media outlets who do not echo his right-wing authoritarian lies. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of nonpartisan civil servants in the federal government, they are also now threatened, not to mention what he describes as some 25 million so-called illegal immigrants in our country who he vows to violently round up and begin deporting on day one of his administration. There are not that many undocumented migrants here, but, you know, facts matter little in this particular argument to this guy, in an argument meant to terrify rather than inform. Anyway, if you'd like to ring in on any of that, again, we're at 818-985-5735. Hit option 1 to join me on air, whether you agree with my thoughts or not. As you know, I always try to give those who disagree with me priority when possible when we're taking calls, 818-985-KPFK. Donald Trump's increasingly violent, increasingly dangerous, increasingly, yes, Hitlerian rhetoric is already having a chilling effect on federal workers and on their safety as they attempt to help millions of Americans recover following the two brutal hurricanes of the last 2 weeks. Both Hurricanes Helene and Milton, with recovery continuing from both of those storms today, and power and water and cell service still out for hundreds of thousands of Americans in the most affected regions, particularly up in western North Carolina. Now, over a week ago or so, in the wake of Helene, I reported on the fact that the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, had to post a rumor response page on its website because there were so many false claims being made by Donald Trump and echoed by his supporters, particularly on social media, about the recovery effort. From out-and-out lies from Donald Trump himself that FEMA and the federal government was nowhere to be found in the affected states. Lies, by the way, that were disputed quickly by even the mostly Republican governors of those states, and even some lies that, as I noted at the time, were particularly dangerous, including this one from the FEMA rumor response page. Rumor, FEMA is in the process of confiscating Helene survivor property. If I apply for disaster assistance and my land is deemed unlivable, my property will be seized. Well, that rumor, the FEMA had to note, is entirely, completely, 100% false. And as I noted at the time, that was a particularly dangerous rumor. I should call it a lie. FEMA is more polite than I am. Their response to it reads as follows, quote, FEMA cannot seize your property or land. Applying for disaster assistance does not grant FEMA or the federal government authority or ownership of your property or land. When you apply for disaster assistance, a FEMA inspector may be sent to verify the damage to your home. This is one of many factors that are reviewed to determine what kind of disaster assistance you may be eligible for. If the results of the inspection deem your home uninhabitable, that information is only used to determine the amount of FEMA assistance that you may receive to make your home safe and sanitary and functional again. Now, I noted at the time that I first shared that particular response from FEMA to that particular lie being spread on right-wing social media, including Twitter, which is now Elon Musk's authoritarian social media site that he calls X, and Donald Trump's authoritarian social media site that he calls Truth Social, that rumors like that are dangerous, not only because it means that people who are eligible for government assistance may not receive it, but because it endangers federal workers who may be trying to help people who have been disinformed that their property will be confiscated by the feds. And that is a lie. But that lie is now, as I feared, endangering federal workers. As the Washington Post reported on Sunday, federal emergency response personnel on Saturday had employees operating in the hard-hit Rutherford County, North Carolina region stop working and move to a different area because of concerns over, quote, armed militia threatening government workers in the region. That, according to an email sent to federal agencies helping with response in the state. Around 1 p.m. Saturday, an official with the U.S. Forest Service, which is supporting recovery efforts after Helene, along with FEMA, sent an urgent message to numerous federal agencies warning, quote, FEMA has advised all federal responders in Rutherford County, North Carolina, to stand down and evacuate the county immediately. The message stated that National Guard troops had come across two trucks of armed militia saying they were out hunting FEMA. And that's a direct quote. The incident management teams have been notified and are coordinating the evacuation of all assigned personnel in that county, the email added. Aside from the danger facing those federal officials, of course, that means the people in Rutherford County were unable to receive the recovery help that they likely needed in a region where folks are still struggling just to survive right now without clean water, power, or cell service. One Forest Service official coordinating the Helene recovery said responders moved to a safe area, and at least some work in that area, which includes clearing trees off dozens of damaged and blocked roads to help search and rescue crews, as well as groups delivering supplies, that work was paused. By Sunday afternoon, thankfully, personnel were back in place. But the setback is one of the latest examples of growing concerns about safety and security in western North Carolina, where many towns were almost wiped off the map after the historic hurricane made landfall about 2 weeks ago. Since then, misinformation and rumors have made the recovery more difficult, targeting multiple federal agencies operating as part of the recovery. Federal officials such as the Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA's Director of Public Affairs have been the target of anti-Semitic attacks, and neo-Nazi groups have reportedly moved into the area. Chimney Rock in Rutherford County has become one of the centers of tension and conflict after rumors spread on social media that government officials plan to seize the entire village and bulldoze bodies under the rubble. Authorities and news outlets debunked that assertion, but people took to social media imploring militias to go after FEMA. Donald Trump has done nothing to dissuade them and has, in fact, continued to spread disinformation himself via social media and at his rallies to encourage such vigilante behavior. A person familiar with the FEMA operation said its teams were now operating at fixed locations and secure areas instead of the usual practice of going door to door to check on people. The heightened tension has resulted in residents harassing federal employees, said a former Forest Service official who lives in Asheville, North Carolina, Reva Duncan. She's also a representative with the Grassroots Wildland Firefighters. She said people have been yelling at federal employees who are delivering aid or showing up to do repairs, saying, "We don't want your help here." One Forest Service employee, she said, was pulling into a gas station when someone yelled at him to leave, saying, "We don't want the government here." It's terrible, she said, because a lot of those folks who need assistance are refusing it because they believe the stuff that people are saying about FEMA and the government. And it is sad because they are probably the ones who need the help the most. And I would add that I find it particularly sad when I hear about folks who are planning to vote for Donald Trump. Minorities, working class Americans, who are likely to be the most adversely affected by his policies and his politics, like chickens, as the old saying goes, voting for Colonel Sanders. Earlier Saturday, a resident came to a supplies distribution center, now largely run by a relief group called the Cajun Navy, with the help of a Baptist church organization, and actually threatened FEMA personnel who were also stationed there in a trailer, according to two Cajun Navy volunteers and according to the local police and the sheriff's office there. Politico reporters watched 20 Trump rallies of late and, they reported on what they heard. Trump is still preaching the dark, weird American carnage stuff 8 years after his inaugural speech, according to Tom Sullivan of Digby's Hullabaloo. Rapists and murders are everywhere, and, quote, animals, and, quote, stone-cold killers, and, quote, the worst people, and the, quote, enemy from within. They're all at the gates, and they are at your front door. Haitians, Venezuelans, Mexicans, Chinese immigrants, they are all targets, and so are you, dear reader, according to writer Heather Cox Richardson. She says on Sunday, Trump made the full leap to authoritarianism, calling for using the federal government not only against immigrants, but also against his political opponents. After weeks of complaining about the, quote, enemy within, well, now we know who he's talking about. Trump suggested that those who oppose him in the 2024 election, that they are actually the nation's most serious problem. That came just days after he called for the broadcast licenses to be revoked for all of the commercial broadcast networks, CBS, ABC, NBC. Never mind that broadcast networks are not actually licensed by the FCC. Maybe Donald Trump doesn't realize that. He doesn't know all that much. That was something that the chair of the FCC had to point out in the wake of all of this. But on Friday night, for example, Donald Trump said 60 Minutes, the 60 Minutes show, should be, quote, taken off the air because they committed some crime, that he claims, in interviewing Kamala Harris last week. And they wanted to interview him as well, as 60 Minutes has in every single presidential race going back to the 60s when they first went on the air. But Donald Trump said no because he claimed he didn't want to be fact-checked by CBS News. A day or so later, he suggested during a Newsmax interview that the government should somehow pull CBS off of the airwaves. Last week, he also cited the New York Times by saying, quote, "Wait until you see what I'm going to do to them." To the New York Times, yes, full-on authoritarianism. Trump recently insisted that those who criticize judges and Supreme Court justices that he likes, quote, "should be put in jail for that." For criticizing a judge, which, of course, if you paid attention at all, Donald Trump is himself famous for criticizing his own judges and any judge who makes a decision that he does not like. In early 2017, as Steve Bannon observes today, the then president delivered a speech in which he boasted, quote, "I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me. Nobody," unquote. That was, of course, ridiculous at the time, but it is vastly worse now, writes Bannon. on Fox News. He told Maria Bartiromo this weekend that even more troubling for the forthcoming election than immigrants, quote, is the enemy within.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're the and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
The National Guard. The National Guard. The military should be called in to handle radical left lunatics. I guess they're talking. I guess he's talking about you, Desi Doyen.
I guess he's talking about everybody who is not a right winger, because anybody who disagrees with him, he automatically calls a radical leftist. But hopefully, people are paying attention to the fact that he is openly saying he is going to bring out the National Guard and the military to round up leftists.
To Americans, people who voted, who he thinks voted against him or done him wrong somehow in the election. Are we listening? Is America listening? Because the polls are still, for all intents and purposes, tied. Really? 818-985-5735. Politico reported on Saturday, quote, efforts to blame outsiders, a politically voiceless group, which Trump is an expert at doing, has led to atrocities in the U.S., everything from Japanese internment to so-called Operation Wetback. That was the name of a program against immigrants put in place by Eisenhower. That, according to Edberto Romain, a Florida International University law professor who studies xenophobia and immigration, vivid imagery, such as telling crowds of rally attendees that migrants will, quote, cut your throat. Those are now a staple of Trump's speeches. Did you know that? He cites cases of U.S. women and girls allegedly murdered by roaming bands of immigrants in the country illegally who have taken over entire towns. None of it true, of course, but that hardly matters. That, even as studies have repeatedly shown that immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than U.S.-born Americans, but who's he going to go after first, the immigrants or you and me, those radical leftists? Trump says they are, basically, they are, the immigrants, inherently the worse people. Worse than Americans, other than, I guess, those Americans that he's also vowing to target. He's told his nearly all-white crowds in recent days that that they have, quote, the good genes. The good genes. Even before his explicit suggestion this week that non-white immigrants are genetically inferior, when he told right-wing radio host Hugh Hewitt that migrants have bad genes. So that would be eugenics. That would be literally, literally the language of Adolf Hitler. But the election is said somehow to be tied? Really? Robert Jones, founder of the Public Religion Research Institute, the author of The Hidden Roots of White Supremacy and a vocal critic of Trump's rhetoric, told Politico, quote, what is so jarring to me is that these are not just Nazi-like statements. These are actual Nazi statements. Actual Nazi sentiments. Hitler, he said, used the word vermin and rats multiple times in Mein Kampf to talk about Jews. These are not accidental or coincidental references, he said. We have clear 20th century historical precedent with this kind of political language, and we see where it leads, he says. Do we see where it leads? Do we remember? Or do we think it can't happen here? As our friend Tom Sullivan, a blogger at Digby's Hullabaloo, he's a resident of Asheville, North Carolina himself. He joined us on the show last week to discuss the recovery efforts in his own hard-hit town after Helene. As he writes this morning, quote, we don't even have to look beyond the last decade of the 20th century. the Rwandan genocide and the Srebrenica massacre were a mere 30 years ago. Trump, he writes, is performing Radio Rwanda for white people in preparation for a pogrom. The world watched Trump incite a mob to violence once, and he is doing it again, writes Tom. On Friday, Trump spoke in Aurora, Colorado, a city that he claims has been taken over by Venezuelan gangs. The local mayor and the local police say otherwise. They say there's been something like less than a dozen handful of gang members who have been arrested. But Trump pretends that they have taken over the entire town. When Trump told his Aurora rally, quote, "We have to live with these animals, but we won't live with them for long." When he said that, someone shouted, "Kill them!" Trump is spending precious days not campaigning in key swing states, Sullivan observes, because he is not planning to win at the ballot box. He is moving on to Plan B, his plan to declare victory on November 5, whether he has won or not. And for that to work, he needs control of Congress, Tom argues. The backup to Trump's 2020 Plan B was mob violence. He's clearly preparing that contingency again. A host at the right-wing media outlet called Right Side Broadcasting, which carries all of Trump's rallies in full, proclaimed, quote, "These people, they are so evil. They are not your run-of-the-mill criminal. These people are satanic. They are involved in human sacrifice. They are raping men and women and children, especially underage children." Over the weekend, Trump spoke out here in California in the Coachella Valley on Saturday, where he has no hope, by the way, of winning this state. Longtime media critic James Fallows described the rally as a Nuremberg-style speech. This is what it looks like when fascism comes to America. Not just wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross, but echoing rhetoric that led to the worst atrocities of the 20th century, writes Sullivan. Take this serious. Get busy. Get busy beating MAGA soundly at the polls, he warns people. Yeah, Trump was here over the weekend, where he has no chance of winning, but a state that is likely to run up the score against Donald Trump in the popular vote by millions of votes, as it did in both 2016 and 2020. And if the margin of that popular vote, it will likely be key to helping to rebut any claims that Trump will make that he actually won if, in fact, he actually loses in the Electoral College. So, yes, the way you vote out here in California does make a difference in this year's election, at least as I see it. You may feel differently. If you do, 818-985-5735. I would love to hear from you. At that rally on Saturday out here in California, Trump suggested that a heckler would later get, quote, "the hell knocked out of her." For heckling, you know, because he's a champion of free speech. That during his insult-laced speech, portraying a dark image of the country and demonizing undocumented immigrants, according to Washington Post. Trump called the November 5 election a, quote, "chance to send a message." On that, I agree. During his speech on Saturday in Coachella, Trump repeated falsehoods about migrants and sought to portray the country in apocalyptic terms. He described the election on November 5 as, quote, "Liberation Day," comparing the U.S. to an occupied country, saying we are known all throughout the world now as an occupied country. He lied. We're like an occupied country. We got people taking over parts of Colorado. We have people taking over other states. It's no different, really, than if we lost a war, he said. What is he talking about? He used similar language on Friday in Aurora, Colorado, after promising to launch a deportation program called Operation Aurora under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, a law which was last invoked to America's eternal shame during World War II to intern immigrants of Japanese, German, and Italian descent. Most of us are ashamed of that. Donald Trump is citing that as, yeah, that's the way to go if you put me in office. Let's use that 1798 law again. And yet, as the Washington Post also notes, their polling average has Vice President Kamala Harris leading in four of the seven battleground states, if just barely, with every one of those battleground states now said to be within a normal-sized polling error and, frankly, could swing either way. That the day after Donald Trump was out here in California threatening our governor, Gavin Newsom, who he calls Gavin Newscum because he's a grown-up, threatening that he will withhold fire money in the case of wildfires out here in California. The very same thing that Donald Trump has accused Joe Biden of doing after the hurricanes on the East Coast. Donald Trump says he will do that to California. And by the way, Donald Trump has done that in the past, not just to California, but other states who were not sufficiently loyal to him during his presidency. So are your news outlets and media outlets sharing this stuff with you? Are they helping you to understand what an unprecedented threat that this man now represents to our constitutional republic and the rule of law? I'm not a Democrat or a Republican or anything else, but I am a small D Democrat. I believe in democracy, as imperfect as our version of it here is in America. And I believe in the rule of law, and I believe in the Constitution. And everything I hear this man say in recent days is a threat to the Constitution and to our democracy and to America and Americans themselves and to the rule of law. I will help make sure that whoever you vote for or against, that your vote will be counted as cast. And, you know, I don't usually cover Donald Trump this way. I prefer to actually stick to, you know, sort of news items and allow you to figure out the subtext of what it all means. And it's not just Donald Trump, of course. His minions, Ron DeSantis, by the way, for the record, is literally threatening criminal charges and imprisonment against employees at television stations in Florida that run ads in favor of a Florida abortion rights amendment that is on the ballot this year. But at this point, when we are at the point where a major party's nominee for president of the United States is talking about taking news outlets off the air about, quote, the bad genes of people that he opposes, Americans that he opposes, well, it's time to ring a bell or sound the alarm or set off the sirens to make sure that the electorate actually knows who and what they are voting for or voting against this year. Because when I grew up, the question was always, boy, how did Germany, one of the most prosperous, sophisticated, and well-educated nations in the world, how did they ever allow Hitler to happen? Yeah, he was elected too. And now, though I'd never understood the answer to that question before, well, yeah, now I get it. I get it now. Do you? 818-985-5735 is my phone number. I'm happy to hear from you on whatever aspect of any of this you'd like to discuss. The polls, the media, the threats to immigrants, the threats of violence to Americans, the threat to overrule the First Amendment's promise of free speech and a free press. And as I said, you don't have to agree with me. In fact, I prefer that you don't. 818-985-KPFK in our live listening area in Southern California or anywhere in the world if you are listening live via the kpfk.org web stream. If you'd like to lighten things up and make the case for your favorite candidate over one of the most powerful radio signals west of the Mississippi, you can do that now as well. 818-985-5735. Hit option number one to join me on the air. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening, at least I hope you are, to the Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com on Indigenous Peoples Day. That was a song called When We Remain by Native American singer, songwriter, and activist Samantha Crane, a member of the Choctaw Nation, singing in the Choctaw language. As I say, welcome back. And by the way, that's something to keep in mind. It's called When We Remain. Something to keep in mind as Donald Trump is poisoning the nation with talk about immigrants to this country that he doesn't care for. Yes, it's indeed Indigenous Peoples Day. 818-985-5735 is our phone number if you would like to ring in on anything we've been talking about so far. Let me go to Leah in Los Angeles. Hey, Leah, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say that you had said, is anyone listening? Well, I'm always listening. And I am really troubled about our country and how so many people, while they're not really astute politically and they don't really understand, you actually hear people listening. I mean, they're commenting and saying, I'm undecided. How can you possibly be undecided? I don't even get it. What choice do you actually have? I don't really, I also feel that, as what you were pointing out, I do not understand how we have leadership in this country, and a man like Trump, who tried already treasonous, seditionist, tried to overturn an election, had got people killed, tearing up the Capitol, on and on and on, and threatening to lynch people, and he is allowed to run. I have seen a lot of comments online, different places. Everyone is saying the same thing. Well, many. Why is he running at all? Why is he allowed to run? What's happened and what is wrong with our country? Why is it a man like him, someone like him, can be running for president? And you and I both know the man is imbalanced. He's completely mentally imbalanced.
Well, let me respond to that, Leah. I think the fact that he can run is actually a good thing. In that, you know, listen, if Donald Trump was president right now, he would, he's got enough control over the federal judiciary that he would use and abuse it to mock up phony charges against whoever he felt was his opponent and use that to prevent them from running. I think the fact that, you know, you have to be charged, you have to be imprisoned and all of that, there are certain laws that if you violate will prevent you from running for governor, for president. But I don't know. I think the fact that he can run is actually an upside for this nation. The fact that he has not been sentenced and imprisoned by now.
But we all know what he did, actually. We all really saw it. We all know what he did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. No,
I kind of do not think he should be allowed to run, but because the average intellectual, intelligent person who would run for president, they would not do what he did. We have always had the, you know, as they say, the peaceful transition of power or whatever. But we already know. Now, what's our country planning to do? Because if he doesn't so-called win, and I hope to God he doesn't, he's already going to start some mess. And I call them Confederates because to me they're connected to the Confederacy. Yep. And they have continued to. Now, think about it, Brad.
Yep. Yep, no.
During slavery, what were they if they were not you know, the same type of person as Trump. They were abusive to people. They were, they didn't want people to be paid. They thought they could do whatever they wanted to with them. They were very abusive. So I don't know what they were called. They called themselves Americans, but what were they really?
Treasonous and traitorous. Thanks, Leah. Really good call. And I really do appreciate your thoughts. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Amelia, also in Los Angeles. Hey, Amelia, welcome to the broadcast.
Amelia, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have been paying attention to what you're saying, and I'm thinking, this is Hitler. This is Hitler all over again. No one believed that it was going to be that bad.
Amelia, I'm sorry, I don't mean to break in there. You broke up a little bit. You said you have been listening, and this is Hitler all over again?
Yes, this is Hitler all over again. He's very good at his speech about pushing buttons on people's fears and putting a few groups of people as the target, as long as it's not me. And, you know, you will not believe what I just thought. I am Mexican, but I look white people. And, you know, I called myself thinking, gee, I'm glad I look white. Hmm. And I said, what? And that's what happened to them.
Yeah.
As long as it's not me, I'm going to be okay. Hmm. But look what happened. And I don't care if you are blue-eyed and blonde hair. If you go against him, you are going to be white. Of the marginal people, and people are not really realizing that.
Yeah, no, it's
they think they're safe.
Yep.
No one is safe with this creep.
It is like the old. It's like the old poem. First they came for the, for the Catholics, but I wasn't one of them. And then they came for the Jews, but I wasn't one of them. And then they came for me. I appreciate your call, Amelia. You're absolutely right. I hope people are listening to what you are saying, to what Leah is saying, to what I am saying.
Please.
Thank you.
Please listen.
Thank you.
Listen to what he's saying.
Thank you. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Amelia. I appreciate the call. Let me go to Josh on line 3 in Los Angeles. Hey, Josh, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, yes. I just wanted to say you mentioned the similarities. You know, of course, there are differences between what's happening now with Hitler. And a friend of mine, she spent a little time in Germany. Her mother was bombed during the Munich bombing. Mm. She was injured and had a near-death experience. But the point is this. She made a really good point about how Hitler won. I'm anti-Hitler, she's anti-Hitler. And the point she made was this, is that the German people were so punished by the tax levies against them after World War I. And of course there was disparity of wealth. So the very poorest were eating the wallpaper glue. And they were so ashamed. And Hitler came along and said, okay, that's it. We're not going to pay it because we can't afford it. And now you should be proud of who you are. And Germany, if you know your history, and Berlin especially, was so liberal. There was beginning acceptance of trans people, and right before Hitler took over. So just the similarities, and we're a different country, it's a different thing, but the similarities are very scary. So I just wanted to speak to that.
I appreciate that. Although, you know, I will note, I think that's why it's important. We are not Germany after World War I. Our economy is actually doing very, very well. And so that's why it's so important for Donald Trump to go out there and claim that the economy is disaster, to pretend that Wall Street is not at record highs, that unemployment is not at record lows, that inflation is back down to what it was when he was in office. So he's got to sort of create that false atmosphere, and he's doing a hell of a job. And we've got a lot of problems with our own American media who are afraid to call him out for that, which is what I'm trying to do today with your help, Josh. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
818-985-KPFK is our phone number. Let's go to Bruce in Los Angeles. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hey, Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah, quick comment. You discussed earlier a bit about eugenics and Trump's language.
Yep.
You know, there was an article in the Atlantic magazine a few years back I believe, by Ann Applebaum, one of their, you know, common contributors, about eugenics and the eugenics movement in the United States. There was a book, forgive me, I don't remember the title of the book or the author, but this is one of Hitler's favorite books, a book written by an American eugenicist who was promoting eugenics, which was like back in the 1910s sometimes, you know, around the World War One times. So that's all. I just wanted to make that comment. Forgive me, I can't remember the title of the book, but this was one of Hitler's...
He's following the playbook. And it's, you know, there are a lot of people over the years who have called out, oh, this guy's Hitler, that guy's Hitler. And, you know, usually there's the old law. I forget what they call that law, where you know, the first person to compare someone to Hitler loses the argument. But boy, that is exactly what is happening. He is using those exact same words. He's not like Hitler. He's using the exact same words of Hitler. Yeah, go ahead.
But my point is that the eugenics movement has, you know, a long history in the United States. That's all.
All right.
You know, it's not just Germany.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that call. 818-985-KPFK. Allison in my old hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Allison, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, I've never called in before.
Are you the Allison that I hear from time to time via email?
Yes, it's the same person.
Yay! So glad. Thank you for calling in, Allison. I appreciate that.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just really love everything that you said. You're spot on, as always, and I wish our media was paying more attention, and I'm glad you are, because we need to be paying attention. We need to listen. It's like the old saying, those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it, and I'm so afraid we're going to.
Yeah, no, especially in places like out there in Missouri. Now, Allison, when I left Missouri, it was like the purple state that all the presidents came to three or four times. It was the battleground state. Since I've left, apparently you've allowed it to go far, far to the right. Not that I'm blaming you personally, but it is kind of your fault. How is are these messages, the ones that I'm getting across here on the broadcast, are they getting through to people in my old home state of Missouri?
I don't know. I think maybe there's an amendment on our ballot. It's a citizen initiative to protect access to abortion.
Yeah.
So I think that has a good chance.
You think?
I think maybe it's wishful thinking, but when those people turn out to vote, that tends to be good for Democrats. So I'm hopeful.
All right. Well, hang in there. Do what you can. Boy, I'm worried about Missouri, but hang in there. And Allison, thank you for calling. So good to hear from you. Appreciate it.
You too. Have a good night.
All right.
As always, for a great show.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to G in Glendale. Hey, G. Welcome to the broadcast.
Mr. Brad Friedman, thank you for taking my call. I'm the one that called you about letting Mr. Garland Nixon know that you were talking stuff behind his back. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, not only happy Indigenous People's Day, but also to my Italian brothers universally who celebrate Columbus as an Italian. If they watch the CIA History Channel, they'll find out that he was actually a Spaniard. Next thing, Mr. Brad Friedman,
I heard
Microsoft
G, turn him down a second. He doesn't let. Gee, I was going to say there was genetic information that came out this weekend that he was actually a Sephardic Jew. I just wanted to point that out. But you talk a lot, but you don't listen that much. Did you hear that, G?
Right, I didn't hear it on your show, but I heard it this morning on KFI on the news that it turns out he's Spanish and Jewish.
Yeah.
But I heard on CIA History Channel years ago, decades ago, that he's I didn't hear from you, but I heard he was Spanish.
Okay.
And he fought in Spanish wars and stuff like that.
All
but
right.
Anyway, also it popped up on Microsoft Bing, Bill Gates' the devil Bill Gates outfit today. Happy birthday to George Floyd. No happy birthday to genocidal maniacs like Charlie Kirk and the aforementioned Eisenhower, who killed a bunch of people, including his own so-called friend, General Patton.
All right.
I wanted to talk about Bill Maher that you mentioned a few weeks ago.
Well, I might have, but, you took up too much time. Bring him down. I might have talked to you about that in the first place if you hadn't taken 5 minutes with your obituary list or whatever the heck that was. I'm sorry. I'm at the top of the hour. I've got time for only next time. let's hit that part right off the bat, right, G? Let me go. I think it's going to be our last call of the day. Christopher in Carson. Is that Carson, Nevada?
No, I'm sorry. That's Carson, California.
Oh, Carson, California. Hey, Christopher, welcome to the broadcast, sir. I've got just a minute or so here, very quickly.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to say that that this whole paranoia of Trump being a dictator, it's going out of out of proportion. He had the perfect opportunity to do dictatorial things with COVID. Instead, he delegated the authorities to the individual states. That was his perfect opportunity. Instead, what did Biden do? Biden tried to get everyone fired that refused to take the shot through OSHA, all the while allowing the border completely open for who knows who, whether they were vaccinated or not.
As it turns out, you had me with the COVID, but on the border, no, it's not completely open, Christopher, not in the least. And you would only feel that way if you believed
15 million people. They just released a report saying that 13,000 confirmed murderers. And no. 20,000 confirmed rapists.
Okay, because I only have 30 seconds here before I got to close the show, Christopher. Those 13,000 so-called murderers you were talking about, that goes back 40 years, including during Donald Trump's presidency. Christopher. That includes during Donald Trump's presidency, and they were people who, most of whom are already in jail. They weren't murderers let in.
For example,
it's not an open border.
Under Trump's presidency, 11 terrorists have crossed the border.
Wrong.
Under this one, 384.
Okay. You're making up numbers just like Donald Trump.
Look it up.
I will, Christopher. And I do appreciate the call. And I am sorry that we couldn't have it out a little bit farther, but I do have to end the show. We'll try to pick this up next time. Okay, Chris? I appreciate that. All right. We got to get out. Thanks to everybody who called. My apologies to those who I could not get to. We'll try again soon. Thanks to our engineer, Wendell Handy, to our producer, Desi Doyen, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com until Donald Trump outlaws it. Bradblog.com. You can drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the Facebook's Mastodons and site, yes, still known as Twitter, I am The Brad Blog. We'll see you there. Until we see you here, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.